Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Let's start with the shows I saw this week. First, there was Bug, B-U-D, in which Carrie Coon stars as a woman living in a motel in Oklahoma, hiding out from her violent ex-husband. When a military veteran, played by Namir Smallwood, enters her life, well, both become convinced that the insect problem in their room is the product of a dark conspiracy. Are these delusions born out of trauma, or is it just the drugs talking? Well, I confess that I had a hard time getting into this show, but I always admire playwright Tracy Letts, who is Carrie Coon's husband, by the way. Right now, I'd say she is a front runner for the Tony, along with Leslie Manville for Oedipus. P.S., you check your phones when you arrive at Bug, and that usually means nudity is coming. That's putting it mildly here. Very brave actors, I will say. And then I saw Marjorie Prime, a Broadway revival of a play by Jordan Harrison. This one manages to feel eerily timely as it has a strong AI-type component. It deals with an 85-year-old woman who talks to a semi-reconstitution of her late husband, Walter, who or which becomes more Walter-like when fed bits of a reminiscence. A few years later, after Marjorie dies, her daughter, Tess, talks to her to a recreation of her mother. These new Marjories and Walters are known as primes, hence the title. The play runs 85 minutes. Its four-character cast is excellent. June Squibb is 96 and lands every line with knowing wit. Cynthia Nixon and Danny Burstein are top-notch. I actually took the time after to watch a film version of the play. Apparently, all this is not as sci-fi as it sounds. Many people who lose loved ones find ways to talk to them, especially now with chatbots and so on. Anyway, aside from the tech talk, Marjorie Prime stirs up emotions that just about anyone can relate to. The show's only up for a few more weeks, by the way. And then there was Honey Trap at the Irish Rep on West 22nd Street. This one is about two British soldiers stationed in Belfast around 1979. One night they go out to a pub and only one of them makes it back to the barracks alive. We hear about this while a college student is doing an oral history of the so-called Troubles. Director Matt Tierney has us questioning everything we see until the final moment. I won't say more, but Honey Trap has been called a masterpiece. As for theater news, Hell's Kitchen, the New York coming-of-age musical, inspired by the life of Alicia Keys, set to her music, has announced the closing date on Broadway. Its final performance at the Schubert Theater will be on February 22nd. I should mention that an original cast member, Brandon Victor Dixon, will return to that production beginning January 27th through the remainder of the run. I first saw the show at the Public and knew then they had a hit, and Brandon Victor Dixon was great alongside all the starring females. And back to the subject of semi-human robots, etc., the original helper bots, as they're known, are officially retiring from Maybe Happy Ending. That's the Tony-winning Broadway musical of last year. 2026 Grammy Award nominee Helen J. Shedd will depart the production first, playing her final performance on February 15. Tony winner Darren Criss will play his on May 17. And just opened, Erika Schmidt's The Disappear is now making its world premiere with Audible Theater at the Minetta Lane Theater. Described as a mildly farcical comedy, this one is set in the Hudson Valley home shared by a novelist played by Miriam Silverman and a filmmaker portrayed by the always great Hamish Linklater and their teenage daughter. These Audible offerings are always worth seeing, and the Minetta Lane is a hidden jewel downtown. As for what's coming, two-time Oscar winner Adrian Brody and Golden Globe nominee Tessa Thompson will make their Broadway debuts this spring and one called The Fear of 13, beginning performances March 19th. The Fear of 13 is inspired by the true story of a man who spent 21 years on death row in Pennsylvania after being wrongfully convicted of rape and murder. David Cromer will direct the play. That man directs every play, it seems. And then there is one called Kramer Fauci, which opens next month at NYU Skirball. We'll have a short run, just 2 weeks. Tony winner Will Brill, last seen in Stereophonic, plays Dr. Anthony Fauci. Thomas J. Ryan plays dramatist and activist Larry Kramer. This is a recreation of a 1993 televised debate between the two over AIDS policy. Sounds fascinating. And yes, that Fauci, long before something called COVID came along. A few deaths to mention, finally. First, John Cunningham, a character actor who on Broadway originated roles in Company, The Sisters Rosenzweig, and Six Degrees of Separation. He died on January 6th at his home in Rye, New York. He was 93. And Frank Dunlop, a boundary-pushing British director who infused the London theater scene by founding the iconoclastic Young Vic Theater Company. And then he later brought his sensibility to the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Dunlop died on January 4th in Manhattan. He was 98. Both true men of the theater. Anyway, next up for me this week is a small piece about Dorothy Parker, or at least one using her always witty and wicked words. I could use some good laughs about now. I hope you'll find some this week, and I'll see you next time.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.